Couldn't hear you. Mic check! All right, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, and this is your mic check. Put on your riot suits, America. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, occupier, and all-around swell fellow occupying your airwaves from coast to coast and around the globe tonight. Glad you could join us here. We are broadcasting once again from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank at the lovely KTalk AM 1150 studios. So glad you could join us. Man, is there a lot going on. So I'm in for Mike. I'm in for Mike today. I'll be in for Mike all next week, at least up until Thanksgiving. I'm glad you're joining us because, like I say, man, do we have a lot to cover tonight. Follow us tonight, if you wish, on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. That's where you'll find me. And you can also play along at home if you have your riot suits, as I said, at bradblog.com, where we have a chat room up and rolling, and folks are already starting to pile in. There will be no checks at the door for tents, sleeping bags, and tarps. You're welcome to walk right in. We believe in the First Amendment here, whether the New York police do, whether the Oakland police do, whether the Tulsa police, Dallas police, L.A. police, the list goes on. We're going to talk about that in a moment, too. Also, our phone number tonight. Don't bother the Malloys. They're enjoying their pre-Thanksgiving break. Bother us instead at 877-520-1150. That will be our phone number tonight when we open up the lines. Write it down, 877-520-1150, so that you, too, can occupy your public airwaves. Not a lot of chance to do that, you know. Now's your chance. Did I say I'm the guy from Brad Blog? Yeah, I'm the guy from Brad Blog. What other business do I have? Dez, our lovely producer, is also screening calls tonight, and she'll be moderating in the chat room along with Angel, who is joining us tonight. Welcome, Angel. Glad you could be with us. Help us out in the chat room. Now, when we say moderate, of course, you know, we don't mean moderate, like moderate your speech. It's just a matter of approving you, giving you the go-ahead to say anything you want in the chat room. We just have to have somebody there to say, yes, you're in. Agree with us or not, but you're in. So Angel is there. Ernie Canning is also there helping us out tonight. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. We are going to be joined a little bit later in the show by Josh Harkinson, of Mother Jones, who has a horrifying story, a riveting, a horrific story to tell about what happened to him as he, as a journalist, was trying to cover the eviction by the NYPD riot cops, by the NYPD stormtroopers, by Mike Bloomberg's thugs. Sorry, guys. Mike Bloomberg's thugs in Zuccotti Park last Monday night, Tuesday morning, as they were evicting the peaceful protesters, peaceful demonstrators from Zuccotti Park. Why? Oh, it was for health reasons. That's what Mike Bloomberg said. For health, for their own health and safety. So at 2 a.m. in the morning, he had to send in his thugs, his stormtroopers, to roust these peaceful demonstrators, peaceably assembling, you know, under the First Amendment rights, at 2 a.m., had to pull them out of their tents, throw them onto the streets to roam around lower Manhattan for their health, for their safety? Are you kidding me, Mike Bloomberg? Of course, he was just following the pattern. He was just following the pattern that they've all been doing now at all of these occupations around the country. All of these mayors, many of them, by the way, Democrats. And shame on you. Shame on you, Democrats. We expect the Republicans to not give a damn about the Constitution. I was expecting more from you Democrats. I don't know where I got that idea. What was I thinking? Let's see. Last time when we were in for Mike, the occupations were just kicking off. It was very exciting. It was just, literally, the days that we showed up were the days that the occupiers were turning out. Man, and I said, I think at the time, that this could be the most important thing to happen in this country since 9/11. I still stand by that. I believe that it is, that it will prove to be. We'll see whether I'm right or wrong. But so far, I believe it is. And the fact that this has been going now for 2 months, yesterday was the 2 month anniversary. And to celebrate, cops all across the country were beating the crap out of peaceful protesters. Way to go, cops. And talk about that in a second. I want to mention that we're also going to be joined later in the show. I say I got to calm myself down. I got 3 hours to go here. But man, have I been storing it up for the past 2 months. Denise Lockwood is going to be joining us from the Caledonia Patch to discuss and this is an amazing story. And again, another story that I should not be surprised about. The Wisconsin recall effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. Surprise, surprise, the dirty tricks have begun already. The fraud, the Walker supporters have been talking out there on Facebook of their plans to shred and burn petitions, to actually go out and collect petitions in areas that would be supportive of this recall effort, of getting this recall on the ballot. They've got to collect about 500,000 signatures over the next 60 days. So folks are going out in huge force. It's an uphill battle. Whether they'll be able to do it, I don't know. They say in the first 48 hours, they gathered some 50,000 petitions in the first 2 days. They've got to get something like 9,000 a day on average for the next 60 days in order to get this on the ballot. And yet, these Republicans are talking openly on Facebook and elsewhere about going out, collecting petitions, and then shredding them and burning them. I covered it a little bit last weekend, I guess, at bradblog.com. And then Denise Lockwood jumped in with some more reporting while I was also working on the story. And she has a source who was among those who said he was going to tear up these signatures. And she did not identify his name. She knows his name. And he says that he knows personally two other people who are doing the same, and that he has been told that there are thousands out there planning to do the same thing in Wisconsin. Because when you can't win, cheat. Right? Wisconsin Republicans? Very impressive. So we're going to talk to Denise Lockwood. Her report raises some interesting questions. For one, she's got a source who is saying that he is going to commit a crime, that he knows others who are going to commit this crime, and that he knows that there are thousands of others planning to commit a crime, a class one felony. Should she be keeping his identity a secret as he is a source? Interesting question, certainly for me as a journalist. Lord knows I know a lot about keeping whistleblowers identities private. for those who may remember my Mother Jones story a month or two ago with the tapes of the Inside the Koch Brothers summer seminar up there in June in Colorado. Yeah, sources, and I've been reporting for years on whistleblower sources. And I can't do that unless I'm able to grant anonymity, protect my sources. But if a source was coming to me and saying, I'm going to commit a crime, and I know others who are going to commit a crime as well. Do I then have a responsibility to keep that quiet? At least keep their names quiet? I don't know. I think it's a really interesting question. So we're going to talk about that with Denise Lockwood and get the skinny on this effort. And, of course, we'll take your calls throughout the night at 877-520-1150. Let me get to a break here, and then we're going to come back. I want to talk more about the police state that is apparently now, it's not even a police state. It's a fully weaponized military state in this country. And if you don't believe me, go to bradblog.com right now and look at the photograph on the top item, right under the Malloy chat room item. Look at the next photograph down from Occupy Portland. Look at these riot cops, these riot cops, these stormtroopers spraying this young woman with the tear gas, pepper gas, right in the face. Brad Friedman in from Malloy. Stay with us.
But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were you could be found. Told them you were living downtown.
Say you want a revolution.
What, me? Revolution? Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike as the occupation continues occupying your airwaves tonight, your public airwaves tonight, and all next week, at least up to Thanksgiving. Hopefully we'll be joined by Josh Harkinson at the bottom of the hour, if we can reach him, if he's not being dragged behind. Well, just wait till you hear his story. Wait till you hear what happened to him as a journalist trying to cover the eviction from Zuccotti Park last Monday night. So I'm putting the show together here, and I'm trying to figure out, well, you know, what do we want to talk about tonight? And I'm, you know, looking through over the past week or two at Brad Blog, what we have been covering. Two-tour Iraqi vet Scott Olson has his skull fractured by a tear gas canister fired by the Oakland PD on October 25th. And the chief, the interim police chief up there, Howard Jordan, goes out before the television cameras and tells everybody, well, we had to do it. It was necessary to protect our police from rocks and bottles being thrown by protesters. Well, our own Ernie Canning at bradblog.com and myself went about an analysis of the videotape that's available from that night. And we talked to eyewitnesses. We talked to, got their testimony about what happened. And guess what? Guess what? The police were not protecting themselves from demonstrators throwing rocks and bullets. That was a complete and utter lie. Or if they were, there is no evidence of it whatsoever. So Howard Jordan, the interim police up there in Oakland, leading the 17-agency task force, goes out on TV and just lies. And in fact, the video shows that the cops up in Oakland were putting on their gas masks, were announcing that they're about to use chemical agents, CS gas, on these protesters. And there's no, you know, there's no action at all. They're not defending themselves from rocks and bottles. They're quietly putting on their masks. They're announcing, if you don't clear the area, this assembly is illegal. If you don't clear the area, we're going to use chemical agents. And then they did. Completely illegally, in violation of California state law, in violation of a federal consent decree that the Oakland police signed after 2003 when they did the same thing. The same thing to peaceful demonstrators who were protesting against the Iraq war. In the bargain, two-tour Iraqi vet Scott Olson gets shot in the head with a tear gas canister. His skull is fractured. His brain begins to swell. He's rushed to the hospital in critical condition. Thankfully, he's now home. We'll see if he's got brain damage. But that was just one night. That was just one incident, October 25th. On that same night, we found out some 2 weeks later that Iraq and Afghanistan vet Kevin Sabagi had his spleen ruptured by Oakland PD, who beat the crap out of him. By the way, Kevin, I think is how you pronounce his name, he wasn't even protesting. He was just trying to get home. He was thrown in jail, got no medical care for 24 hours after his spleen was ruptured. We've got videotape at Brad Blog of citizen journalist Scott Campbell shot by Oakland PD with beanbag, so-called less lethal force. Scott Campbell, a citizen journalist, the cameraman, who was just photographing a line of police on November 3. It was quiet. You can watch the videotape. There's nothing going on. And out of nowhere, one of the Oakland PD thugs pulls up his rifle and boom, pops one off, shoots Scott Campbell. The cameraman goes down. You can watch the whole video. You can go see the video of the Berkeley Cal, the UC Berkeley cops at Occupy Cal. Who were slamming their batons. They were nudging according to AP, just nudging batons into the guts of peaceful student demonstrators on the UC Berkeley campus. Go look at the video. Go look at the video of the cop at Occupy Dallas who just pushes a peaceful demonstrator off a 4-foot ledge. For what reason? I don't know. Go look at the video. You tell me, out of nowhere. You can look at the photograph tonight of this woman at Occupy Portland who is being shot in the face by these riot cops. These cops on steroids shoot her straight in the face with pepper spray. Or the story of 84-year-old Dorley Rainey, who, if I can play her whole interview from Oberman yesterday, if I can play the entire thing tonight, I will. The entire thing, 9.5 minutes, a Holocaust survivor, 84 years old, gets a face full of pepper spray from cops at Occupy Seattle on Tuesday. Police state? It's not a police state. This is a fully weaponized military state that we are now looking at in this country. And I don't want to sound like, you know, Alex Jones or Glenn Beck. This is the crap that Glenn Beck warned you about. And now he's loving these guys. He's loving these guys beating the crap out of peaceful demonstrators. And Fox News loves it because they can lie about it. They can tell you that these demonstrators are being violent, that they're throwing cops and rocks and bottles at the cops. They ain't. This is your nation. This is what we have allowed it to become, a fully weaponized military state. And this has to stop. Brad in from Molloy.
What happened?
What's your name?
What's your name?
If there ever was a time, it would be now. That's all I'm saying. If there ever was a time to get on your feet, take it to the street. You're the one that's getting played right now by the game they're playing. Come on, meet me down at the Cardiff Park and say, oh, where are the you? We need you now. Come speak the truth, come break it down. Where are the youth? We need you now. If there ever was a time, it would be now to make the masters see this. If there ever was a time to get downtown again, not my man can't feel this. Things only get brighter when you light a spark. Everywhere you go right now, it's the party park. Well, sit down, man. I'll tell you again. The plan's to stand together up the green. And a tear gas can in a veteran's face won't change the case.
No, it won't.
Oh,
tear gas can in a veteran's face. It won't change the case. It will not. That was Third Eye Blind, by the way. Their new Zuccotti Park Occupy Wall Street anthem. You can download it for free at their Facebook page. Yes, Occupy Wall Street now has its own anthem, thanks to Third Eye Blind. I'm going to go to Josh Harkinson in a moment from Mother Jones get his remarkable story about what happened Monday night after midnight, Tuesday morning in Zuccotti Park, as the press was excluded from covering this crackdown on peaceful demonstrators. And thank God for the independent media, for the alternative media, for guys like Josh Harkinson at Mother Jones, who said, you know what, the hell with this. I'll risk arrest. I'll crawl under the barricades back into Zuccotti Park to find out what the hell was going on as demonstrators were surrounded in there by the cops. And the story that he tweeted that night, as I was following it at 3-4 in the morning out here on the West Coast, of what he was going through out there, a riveting tale to tell for sure. But before I go to him, I'm going to play this, I think it's like a 15-second clip. This is O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly. This is his opinion after the crackdown, his opinion about the future of Occupy Wall Street.
So the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead, finished as a legitimate political force in this country. And that's a good thing.
It's finished. It's dead, says Fox News' Bill O'Reilly. We're going to find out if that is, in fact, the case. Right now, San Francisco-based staff writer for Mother Jones, Josh Harkinson, who has not been based in San Francisco over the last few days. He's been in New York, joins us now. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad. Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're with us, but I'm glad you're safe after what happened early Monday night, early Tuesday morning. I want to get that story from you in a second, Josh, but did you hear O'Reilly announcing that the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead?
I think he'd like it to be dead, but I think he's dreaming, at least right now. I think it's got a, it's far from dead, and I don't see any indication that the energy has been lost in any way.
You were, and now you've been out in New York, and what do you do? I thought you were in San Francisco. What are you doing in New York, Josh?
Well, I am normally, and I mean, I live in San Francisco, but this is just so important and interesting that I felt like I needed to be in New York. And so I've been here, off and on for about a month. Mm-hmm. and planning to stay here quite a while longer, as long as this stuff's going on, as long as I can manage to be here.
Yeah, you're going to be there a while in that case. Now, last night, with tens of thousands taking to the streets to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street, no signs that the movement was dead last night?
No. It was a huge day. I think more than 30,000 people turned out on the Brooklyn Bridge. Before that, there were a bunch of really committed protesters, many of them, some of the core group that occupies Zuccotti Park, who tried to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. It was just a massive day of protests all over the city, in the subways and different parks, including union people, including just regular folks who I spoke with, college students who are worried that they're not going to be able to get a job when they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
It was a diverse crowd, and I think everybody was united in their support for Occupy Wall Street.
And was there, tonight, you're not on the streets tonight, you're back in a safe area, or are you back out on the streets covering what's going on?
Well, right now I am at the a local office of the SEIU, which has provided space for the Spokes Council of Occupy Wall Street, which is basically this new kind of quasi-governing body that is, as we speak, trying to figure out what the next move will be, how they might come together to talk about occupying a new space, about communicating better now that they don't have this physical presence, just about the whole range of issues that need to be dealt with, if they're going to keep this thing moving.
And because they're no longer allowed to, are they allowed to sleep in Zuccotti Park? They just can't do it if they have sleeping bags and tents and tarps and so forth?
Well, I think it's a little fuzzy. My understanding, which may or may not be fully right, is that you cannot lie down in Zuccotti Park. You certainly can't have a sleeping bag or a tent. But it's so cold outside that alone is enough to prevent the occupation. But I think you could technically sleep if you slept sitting up.
And they just come up with this random rule now that now you can no longer lie down in Zuccotti Park?
I mean, that's my understanding. I mean, don't hold me to it.
All right.
I think it's all, the rules are whatever they make them, it seems. I mean, they weren't enforcing the tents and sleeping bags thing until they were.
Right.
So,
Now, if they're not able to sleep out there, I read tonight that folks are now sleeping. Various churches are opening up their doors to demonstrators, allowing folks in, and that the New York NYPD is already, it's pretty appalling, already infiltrating these churches in plain clothes, and the churches are getting ticked off about it. But is that where the people are going now, if they can't sleep in the park, or they're just spreading around to various churches and shelters at this point? And can the movement withstand that?
Well, people are also staying at the homes of other occupiers who actually still have homes in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's taking some pressure off the churches. But yeah, it's an issue where people are going to stay. And I, you know, there are some people who actually, you know, gave up their homes so that they could, you know, spend all their time in the park. And now they're, you know, uncertain what to do. And, you know, I think a big issue is the homeless population that had grown in numbers in Zuccotti Park in recent weeks. And, you know, they have a lot of needs, which, you know, sometimes include drug addiction or psychological issues. And so, you know, it's a complicated question, you know, how to help them, how to keep them in the movement, you know, and what ways that that assistance might be carried out.
And we're speaking with Josh Harkinson of Mother Jones. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Josh, tonight, what is going on the streets of New York? And then we'll get to what happened on Tuesday night with you. What's actually going on out there tonight? Have you been able to do any reporting?
Well, not on the street. I mean, I think right now everybody who is involved in this thing is really focused on having meetings to talk about what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a planning phase now. I mean, the big day of protest was on November 17th. And, you know, I've heard some talk of an occupation on Sunday of an outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that will happen, I don't know. But, you know, that's a possibility. But, you know, it's just you can't expect every day for people to be out in the streets waving their fists, because ultimately that's not productive. You know, they need to kind of sit down and think this through and really come up with a cohesive strategy.
All right. I'm already running late because I have so many questions. So let me ask you, Josh, actually, let me try to set this up, and you correct me if I get this wrong, because I remember this well. I was, like I say, I was covering it live and with some horror as I'm watching you tweet what was going on. The cops come in after midnight on Monday night to Zuccotti Park, roust the demonstrators out of their tents, throw them out in the streets, of course, for their own health and safety. Most of the demonstrators are out. The cops are now ringing the place. Barricades go up. Press is told they cannot come in. There are a few dozen or so demonstrators left at the kitchen tent in the center of the park. And you tell everybody on the Twitters that you're going to crawl under the barricades and go in and try to check out what's going on. And then the story of what happened to you once you were there is amazing. Tell us what happened, Josh, what you saw and what happened in this confrontation with this NYPD officer.
Sure. Well, so I made it under this barricade, and I was kind of in this intermediate zone where there's still some occupiers, but the police, like, weren't letting anybody in. And so I kind of go to the edge of that, and then I come to this other police officer who is, like, right catty corner to the park. And I try to walk in, and, you know, I have my business card out, and he doesn't let me in. I mean, they aren't letting any press in. But he basically, like, kind of lets me go stand on a curb across the street from the park. And then I just kind of bide my time until nobody's looking, and I just kind of confidently walk across the street like I deserve to be there. And there I am in the park, and I walk down the sidewalk, and there are all these high-ranking officers around me, guys in suits, and there are cleanup workers and garbage trucks and people scraping up tents. And there's just a core group of occupiers left, like, trying to hold the park. In the center of the park, they're all surrounded. They're all in a circle, and inside the circle is a group that has actually chained themselves to a pole, like, around their necks. And so I'm there when a police officer in a white shirt with a bullhorn announces that if they don't leave, they will be arrested. And, of course, they don't leave. And they're peaceful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're waving American flags.
Right.
You know, they're chanting occasionally. But
they should have broken into songs from Les Mis at that point. It might have helped. Just saying. All right. Press on.
But then, despite the fact that, I mean, at least I didn't see any people resisting or being violent, mm-hmm. but the riot cops move in with zip cuffs, and they douse them with fire extinguishers. And I don't know why they did that. I thought it was tear gas, but it actually was fire extinguishers. And I don't know if you've ever been sprayed by a fire extinguisher, but it actually is not pleasant at all. Like, you start mm-hmm. coughing, and you have trouble breathing. And so as this is happening, I'm trying to get a better view. And, you know, I've been pretty incognito, but I sit up on this wall, and then I get approached by a officer who asked me if he can help me. And I tell him I'm a journalist. He asked me for who. I say I'm with Mother Jones, and he says, well, you have to leave.
Well, that was your first mistake, Josh. All right. So you have to leave.
I mean, maybe he, I don't know, maybe he just didn't recognize Mother Jones as
right.
the name he knew. But
right.
So then I say, well, I'll be happy to leave if you let me witness the arrest first. And that wasn't good enough for him. He's like, you need to leave now. And I'm like, well, fine, just arrest me. And he grabs me by the arm and starts pulling me out of the park. And I'm, like, resisting, and, like, my heels are dragging and stuff. And all around me, people are on the ground. They're getting, there's just kind of, like, chemical fog over them from getting sprayed, and police are on top of them. And I just realized that I could either meet the same fate or I could allow myself to be dragged out of the park and keep reporting. So I decided I opted for the latter.
But when you – yeah, go ahead. And I've only got about 30 seconds left here, Josh. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, no, ask your question.
Well, no, but what happens then is he tells you you can get hurt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was his reason for me leaving, and I think his meaning was pretty clear.
And you write, as you did that night in Twitter, that he then dragged you in front of a dump truck that was backing up?
Yeah, and he's like, well, look, you can get run over by the dump truck. And he's, like, pulling me in front of it. You know, and that wasn't the only thing that happened to me that night. Then later, like, this police officer grabbed me. I was wearing a leather satchel, and mm-hmm. he grabbed me by it and swung me around because I was trying to take a photo of a guy in a stretcher.
But a cop, you're saying, no, I'm. It's not for my own safety. I'll be fine here. And he says, no, you won't. And he drags you behind a dump truck that's backing up to send a signal. I thought this was absolutely horrifying, Josh. Did you get the guy's name, badge number? And will you be making a complaint?
I asked him what his name was, and what he told me was, in response, he said, watch your back.
And he wouldn't give you his name, and you couldn't get his badge number?
No.
So he drags you behind a moving dump truck and says, hey, no, you could get hurt, as if he's threatening that he's going to let you get hit by this truck. Is there any action that can be taken in this matter that you plan to take? Because I was absolutely astounded and appalled by this when you reported it that night.
I mean, you know, I just don't know if it's a useful way for me to spend my time. I'd rather focus on covering Occupy Wall Street. I mean, I can write about it, and that's just kind of what I do. I'm not a lawyer, so.
I'd rather put these thugs in jail because they're the ones who are really causing the violence here, Josh, as I can see it from my reporting in any case. But it's a horrifying story. You can read more about it and check out Josh's video. We've got it at bradblog.com. He's got it over at motherjones.com. Follow him also on Twitter at Josh Harkinson. It's a good follow. Josh, I'm proud to call you my colleague, sir. I was proud to write for Mother Jones a month or so ago. Thanks for what you're doing out there, and please stay safe.
I will. Thanks for having me on, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Josh Harkinson from Mother Jones. Check out his reporting over there, motherjones.com, and bradblog.com as well has the video. And follow him on the Twitters at joshharkinson.com. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
All right, manning the watchtowers tonight, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike Malloy. Billy, hang on. I know you've been hanging there a while down there in Wimberley, Texas, so hang on. I'm going to get to the top of the hour break here, and I'll try to get to your call. We're going to be joined in the next hour by Denise Lockwood of the... What's the Columbia Patch? No, the Caledonia Patch, I think, to discuss the dirty tricks that are going on in the Governor Walker recall that the Republicans are already up to. But, you know, I asked Josh there at the end of the segment. We were running tight, so I couldn't get into it. But I had asked him, you know, if he's going to try to get some accountability from these cops. We have got to, because it is the cops who have turned lawless here. It is the cops who, it's, you know, it's like they got all of this new goddamn equipment after 9/11, and so they want to try it out. They want to try out all their militarized. Like I said, go to bradblog.com. Check out the picture of this woman getting this tear gas in the face. Check out this picture of this tank. This tank down at Occupy Tampa that the Tampa police are now rolling out. We are a fully weaponized, militarized police state, a military state, and we have allowed this to happen. And if nothing else comes of what Occupy, this is what we're learning. Push back legally. Hold these guys accountable. Ernie Canning mentions that the ACLU has brought a lawsuit on behalf of Scott Campbell, the cameraman who was shot by the Oakland PD. You can check out his analysis of that lawsuit at bradblog.com. The ACLU is pushing back. The American Civil Liberties Union. Civil liberties, remember those? Lava Q in the bradblog.com chat room says that the police are more occupied with Occupy Wall Street than with real crime. You're damn right they are. You're damn right they are. And the taxpayers ought to be damn ticked off about it as well. Stop by the chat room and say hello over there. Much more ahead. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, occupying your airwaves and proud of it. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead. To your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow and occupier, says me, in for Mike Malloy from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves until he will next return, which means you got me tonight and all next week. Get over it. Come on, it could be worse. So glad you could join me, and don't forget to stop by our live chat room that is hopping, and I'm doing my best to keep my eyes on it at bradblog.com. Just go to the first item there, click through to the comments, and oh, and you'll find the whole gang there. And Dez and Angel are moderating and making sure the free speech continues all night long. Our phone number is tonight, 877-520-1150. Going to get to a call here in a moment. And then we're going to be joined shortly by Denise Lockwood out of Wisconsin to talk about these right-wingers who are allegedly planning to go out, collect signatures for Scott Walker's recall, and then tear up the petitions, burn them up. And she's got a source who says he was planning to do exactly that and knows some others who are as well. So Denise Lockwood from the Caledonia Patch is going to join us here. But, you know, I had mentioned the ACLU filing suit up in Oakland against the Oakland PD, who started it, who started the violence against the peaceful protesters up there on October 25th. Now, we have a great radio station up there in the Bay Area, Green 960. If anybody's got, any of you great folks up there at Green 960, anybody up there got any video showing rocks and bottles being thrown at cops before they fired the first round of tear gas into the peaceful demonstrators, please let us know at bradblog.com. Because Ernie Canning and I have been trying to, going through video trying to find any evidence that the Oakland police did not start this violence against the demonstrators on October 25th. When the chief of police came out and lied about it on behalf of the mayor, Gene Kwan, up there, who should resign, by the way. Mayor Kwan, you should resign. Interim Police Chief Howard Jordan, you should resign. You lied, as far as I can tell, on television. The night of that violence that you guys wrought... If you didn't bring that violence first, then show us the evidence. Because we've asked for it. We've asked the Oakland PD for what evidence they have. We've made public records requests. They've tried to tell us they can't give us any information because it's under investigation. Which Ernie Canning, who is an attorney, a great California attorney, who said, no, sorry, guys, that's not an excuse for handing over public records. So if you got evidence... that the occupiers were starting trouble and you had to shoot them to protect yourself, as you claimed, Interim Police Chief Howard Jordan, then please show us that evidence. Other than that, it appears to be that you were lying. And your own chief of staff there has told us, we reported it at the blog, that, oh, that was the chief's preliminary, quote, preliminary belief that they were protecting themselves from rocks and bottles. Well, the chief didn't mention anything about that being a preliminary belief that night. He just went out and told people that it was necessary to protect themselves from rocks and bottles, which was a lie. But it, you know, worked great for Fox News, because Fox News has been turned around. And Tony, you got this this montage. Fox News was able to turn around and has been able to turn around and say, oh, these guys are violent. The police are just protecting themselves from these thugs, these miscreants. Well, that's a lie, too. Our friend Ed Schultz put together this little montage of this is how Fox News, this is what Fox News is telling their viewers is going on. It's a complete lie. But this is what Fox News is telling their viewers is going on at these occupations.
So the Occupy Wall Street movement is dead, finished as a legitimate political force in this country. And that's a good thing.
This is about anarchism, socialism, communism.
Well, what they're obviously trying to do is disrupt the lives of New Yorkers to make their point. One woman yelled at them saying, are you going to feed my kids? When they asked her to join their demonstration.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it was not blood on the occupier on MSNBC, but rather ketchup. Or stage blood.
We are dealing with part of now, part Man. Of the global socialist movement.
What have we seen here? Violence, yeah. Rape, arson, destruction of property, sex in public, masturbation in public, naked people, drugs, drug paraphernalia, you know, anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism, anti-capitalism.
Yeah, that's what you wish you saw, Sean Hannity. You have seen violence, but it's been the police who are bringing the violence. The police state, the military state. Hey, Tea Party, all of those things that you feared from big government, they are coming true. It's happening right before your very eyes. You ought to be out there joining the occupation, because if you want to see big government tyranny, that's it. That's it. These cops in their riot gear. Spraying 84-year-old ladies like Dorley Rainey in the face with tear gas, a Holocaust survivor, with tear gas. Go look at the photos. Go look at the videos. Every goddamn Tea Partier out there who was concerned about big government fascism and tyranny ought to be joining with the occupiers now. And, oh yeah. It's all been coordinated by the Department of Homeland Security. According to Gene Kwan, who said she was speaking with 18 other mayors on a conference call as they were putting together the tactics about how to deal with these occupations. And the FBI was telling them, oh, you know, go in with big guns. Do it in the middle of the night. Go in with riot gear on. Use tear gas. Make a big show of force. I've been speaking with a colleague of mine, a journalist, who's looking into this, who's made some public records requests. So hopefully we'll have some more information on that next week. But the National Lawyers Guild has also made public records requests, as reported tonight by Dave Lindorf. We'll get into that in a second. But Bill, and certainly next week. But Billy from Wimberley, Texas, has been holding a really long time. And I don't want to keep him on hold here any longer. He disagrees with me, and I like to bring people who disagree with me right up to the front because I believe in free speech. Billy from Wimberley, Texas, welcome, sir, to Mike Malloy. What's on your mind, brother?
Howdy, Brad. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Did you hear the guy in New York yesterday talking about throwing a Molotov cocktail through Macy's window?
Nope.
Or you did not?
Nope.
Well, I heard it on AP News yesterday morning.
Cool.
Around 8:30.
Has he been arrested for that?
He should have been. I don't think he has.
Why not?
I couldn't tell you that.
But, oh, okay.
But the point I'm trying to make is I think this whole Occupy movement is a thinly veiled dress rehearsal for what the left is going to try to do when Obama gets his hat handed to him next year in the election.
Oh, okay. It was so the, what are they going to do?
They're I really didn't mean that as a joke, but I'm glad you're having a good time.
Well, no, I'm not sure which is funnier, the part about handing his hat to him. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But the notion that the left, I mean, have you seen any pro-Obama signs? These guys have been out in Washington, D.C. Occupy D.C. has been out at the White House protesting against Barack Obama for the past 2 months.
This is a leftist movement, and I hear guys every day on your side, like Mike Malloy, who months ago I heard talk about picking up a weapon.
What?
I hear Mark Thompson. I hear Dave Marsh talk about taking back private property.
Well, who's talking about taking back private property? Who's talking about
Dave
that?
Dave Marsh. David Marsh.
Who's
Dave Marsh on Sunday? He's the Land of Hope and Dreams guy.
Yeah, I don't know him. I don't know him, and I don't want you to smear him here. But
well, I don't mean to smear him. I'm just all I'm saying is I hear people on the left all the time use words like revolution.
Yeah.
Use words like occupy.
Yeah.
We're going to take this bridge. We're going to hold this bridge.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about that all the time.
You didn't hear that, Billy? You didn't hear that from the Tea Party? You didn't hear them talking about revolution? You didn't hear them talking about the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of patriots? Live free or die flags. You didn't hear any of that from the Tea Party?
Live free or die flags have been around for a long time.
Right. And all those
I've heard people passionately speak on both sides.
And all those
I haven't heard anybody from the Tea Party talking about picking up arms and coming after them.
You haven't?
Stuff.
You haven't?
No.
You don't have. They weren't talking about picking up arms. They had arms. They went out to their rallies with arms. They were parading around with assault rifles. They were talking about using Second Amendment remedies if things didn't go their way in November of 2010. Are you serious? You don't remember this, Billy?
We heard about when Sarah Palin used those little target things on her.
My side. What are you talking about, Billy? I'm on your side. I'm not on the left. I'm on your side. What about all these Ron Paul folks out at the occupations? Are they on the left? Are they, Billy? Billy, hang on.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Those Ron Paul folks out at the occupations. Are you telling me those Ron Paul folks are leftists?
Well, I think they're probably libertarians. I really don't know.
So libertarians are on the left. Is that what you're saying, Billy?
I think so. Well, I don't know about that. Brad, I'd have to think about that one, to be honest and be fair with you.
All right.
I'd have to think about that.
Think about it, because they're not on the left. Billy, this is not about left and right. This is about standing up for what's right, for the class that's being screwed over by the 1% who is standing up for folks like you and saying, they're not saying, we don't want, there should be no rich people. We want all the private property back. They're saying, rich people need to pay their fair share. This country, this globe is not facing economic ruin because of nurses, teachers, policemen, and firefighters.
That's the narrative from your side, but I hear you guys all the time talking about spreading the wealth.
Who do you hear spreading the wealth? Who?
Oh, I heard Obama talk about spreading the wealth.
No, you didn't. No, you
he
didn't.
Joe the Plumber. Remember Joe the Plumber?
Yes, I know exactly what he said to Joe the Plumber. And he wasn't talking about the, look, you've got the top 1% who have been given tax cuts, who pay less in their taxes than you do, Billy.
That's not true. At all.
What do you do for a living? What do you do?
I'm a real estate broker.
So you're a real estate broker. So
yep.
Can I, in general numbers, do you make more than $1 million a year?
Not by any stretch of that imagination.
Okay. No. Do you make more than $250,000 a year?
No, sir.
Okay. Those are the people.
That's not really the point.
No, my point, Billy, is that those people, we're talking about right now in Congress, the people having their taxes raised by 3%, only the taxes that are the money that they make that is higher than $1 million. That's what we're. Yeah.
Okay, Brad. We wouldn't be even having this conversation if it wasn't for the immoral progressive tax system that taxes people at different levels depending on their wealth.
So
what is wrong with me paying the same percentage tax as Bloomberg pays?
Because
Bloomberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because when you pay that same percentage, that actually is a huge percentage. If a poor person has to pay a huge percentage of what they make, they can't afford to pay their rent. Whereas a rich guy, the taxes mean nothing to those people.
An interesting conversation, and I'd love to have it with you. But let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
If we proposed or if we had a flat tax starting at $75,000,
right.
Everybody that made less than $75,000 didn't pay any income tax.
Yeah.
And we gave people deductions for things like health care and medicine and food and kept the mortgage deduction and kept property tax deductions and things like that. And then everybody above 75 paid, say, 25%. $10,000 a year.
Billy, I'm only cutting you off because I got to get to a break here. But I'm happy to look at your plan. But if the taxes on the middle and lower classes go up while the upper class taxes come down and they get to pay less as they continually do, pay less and less and less, then no, I ain't going to agree. Herman Cain and his 999 plan raises taxes on the lower and middle class. It lowers it on the upper class, and that ain't going to work because you can't pretend.
You're very fair to take my call, and I appreciate it.
Listen, I appreciate you waiting for an hour to get through. I really do, and thanks, brother. Let's keep up the conversation, Billy. We'll find common ground. You're being lied to by these guys on Fox News.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
Brad.
we'll pick it up next time. Thanks, brother.
Indeed.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to do I have more? Well, we'll see what I have time for. I also want to set up what's going on in Wisconsin because, we're going to bring on Denise Lockwood to explain what the crime in action that is going on in Wisconsin and what she is doing about it. But, I think guys like Billy, and I appreciate that he did, he hung on for like an hour. He called right at the top of the show, so I did want to give him plenty of time. He's being lied to, and he's being told, oh, the left, they want to take away private property. And, oh, the left, they want to, they don't want anybody to be rich, and they're being violent, and all kinds of, you know, crap and nonsense. And I don't hold it against the right-wingers. Not the ones who are, you know, being lied to. I hold it against the ones who are doing the lying. Guys like Billy are being scammed. We're here to unscam him and unscam America. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Let there be songs to fill the air.
Lean on me anytime. I think Tony's trying to talked me off the ledge here with his music. Well done, sir. If you're on the line, I'm not going to have time to take your call here before the bottom of the hour, and then I've got Denise Lockwood coming up. So it's up to you. If you want to hang on, you'll be the first one I get to at the top of the third hour. Otherwise, we got to go. We're back in a moment.
March you to the table. You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. In for Mike. You can tweet us at The Brad Blog. That's our Twitter name. You can also chat with us. Come say hi to all the folks occupying our BradBlog.com chat room right now, including the lovely Dez and the lovely Angel. Going to be joined by Denise Lockwood here momentarily. And what I started to say when I got cut off there, I ran late and ran right up against the clock, so my apologies, but I wanted to let the callers know who were hanging on. We're going to, in third hour, going to take nothing but calls if I can, if it's up to me. And as it turns out, it is. So we're going to take nothing but calls. If you want to hang on, that's up to you. You'll be first in line. Otherwise, get in line if you want. 877-520-1150. Because I am going to go to Denise Lockwood shortly. And I didn't want you to, because I know folks wanted to respond to that last caller. Billy, who the folks in the chat room say, oh, it's all, he's a Koch brothers. He's paid to stay on hold. Well, maybe so. But I don't mind hearing from the wingnuts because it gives us a chance to talk about how they are wrong, how they've been misinformed, how they've been lied to. So I'm cool with that. Anyway, so there may be some other ones out there, and hang around. We'll talk soon in the third hour. Nothing but phone calls. That and maybe that interview with Dorley Rainey. But we'll see. Okay, going to go to Denise Lockwood here shortly. We covered last weekend at BradBlog.com the kickoff of news from the kickoff of this Recall Scott Walker initiative that is now underway up in Wisconsin to recall the anti-union Republican governor up there. It is a tall order for the Democrats and the labor supporters who are trying to pull it off. They've got to collect more than 500,000 signatures over the next 60 days. That's something like 9,000 signatures a day they've got to gather up there in Wisconsin. So I think it won't be easy. On the other hand, in the first 48 hours, reportedly, they collected some 50,000 signatures. So that's a good sign. But we'll see if they can keep it up. In the meantime, already we have reports. Politiscoop, I think, was the first one to come out with this, of the dirty tricks that are beginning, that the supporters of Scott Walker feel they can't win legitimately, apparently. So they're going to game the system in a most despicable way. And they're talking about it openly on Facebook. In one post, Will R. Jenkins at Facebook says, quote, I'll be able to destroy 15,000 to 20,000 signatures. He might even, he says, if they go well, he might even, quote, be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin, Will R. Jenkins says. Don't know if he's real or not, but he writes, I am canvassing an area that is very liberal. I will be taking all those petitions and shredding them once I am done. Kiss my effing ass. There won't be a damn thing you can do about it. Whine all you want, bitch all you want. The petitions are going bye-bye. The best part is that I'm entrusted with the petitions of several other people. When the time comes to turn them in, I'm sure it will be obvious that I don't have them. For my estimations, he says, I'll be able to destroy 15,000 to 20,000 signatures unless the guy above me gives me access to where he stores his own signatures so I can place mine in there. If this happens, I'll be able to destroy upwards of 15 to 20% of the entire collected ballots in the state of Wisconsin. That's just one guy. Matt Wins says, not bad, William. I won't be able to destroy nearly that much. I only have a few people gathering them in a mixed area. Whether they mean it or not, I don't know. But Denise Lockwood, reporter for the Caledonia, editor, I should say, for the Caledonia Patch, followed up that report, and I was working on something similar, talking to the Government Accountability Board up there in Wisconsin to find out if the top election agency is actually reporting, referring this stuff, and there's a lot of it at Facebook, referring it for investigation to the district attorney. And Reed Magny has replied to me that, well, they can't do an official referral yet. However, it seems some of the folks have been in touch with prosecutors. And as Denise Lockwood reported at the Caledonia Patch, Reed Magny told her that it is illegal to do this. That he says, where's Magny here? If someone signed what they think is an illegitimate petition or one that was circulated by a person not on the up and up, that person can sign more than one petition. That's good. That's important. So you folks up there in Wisconsin, you can sign apparently as many as you'd like just to make sure. But Magny says that it would be fraud to either destroy these petitions or to not turn them in. Once they have been signed. And that's what Denise Lockwood, her source, who she does not name, says that he was going to do. He was going to keep them, gather these signatures, but not turn them in, not destroy them, but just not turn them in, and that would not be a crime. He told her, quote, it's not illegal to collect them and not turn them in. Well, the top election agency feels differently about that and says that yes, that would be a felony crime with a maximum fine up to $10,000. And up to 3.5 years in jail. So the question, however, that occurs to me that I wanted to talk to Denise Lockwood about, well, let me welcome her to the show. There we go. Hey, Denise, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your reporting at caledonia.patch.com. It brought up an interesting point as I was reading about this. You have a source, Denise, who has told you that he had planned to, that he had already collected about 150 petitions. You've reported this in your story. And right. That he was planning to not turn them in, and that he knew of two other people who were planning to do the same. And that he's been on websites where he was informed that there are thousands of other people doing this. Do I have that story correct so far, Denise?
Pretty much. He actually didn't say there was an organized website, but he had known people who were frequenting specific Facebook pages that were talking about it, and that he said that there were about 1,000 people. He was told there were over 1,000 people.
1,000 people in this effort to game the recall, to not turn in petitions or to destroy signature petitions. Okay. Now, you chose not to. What he essentially said to you was a crime, as we've learned from your reporting with the Government Accountability Board, the GAB in Wisconsin. So he has essentially told you he was going to commit a crime and that he knew two other people who were planning to do the same thing, correct?
Well, initially, he was under the impression that it wasn't a crime.
Okay.
So he was convinced that it was a kind of a snarky, kind of a nasty thing to do, but it may not be nice, but it was certainly well within his legal rights to do, that he could collect these things and just hold on to them. He really was very passionate about that decision.
But now we know that it is a crime, at least according to the GAB's interpretation. And so he's had a change of heart. Is that correct?
I mean, it was really kind of an interesting process because as far as the source goes, I mean, this is a fellow that I've known for over a year. He's a person that's more of an acquaintance, and he's definitely a person that has a lot to say about unions and a lot to say about why Walker should be in keep his position and things along that line. So that's kind of where he was at when I first met him, and then, or not first met him, but when I was talking to him, And then I asked him, I said, so how are you dealing with this morally? What's in your head? And he said, you know, Denise, let me call you back. I'm going to do some soul searching on this. And then he eventually calls me back and says, you know, I talked to the other fellow that I did this with, and we decided that it wasn't the right thing to do, that even though we believe in what we believe, that maybe we should, he and this other fellow had decided that they were going to turn the papers in.
So they had a... Oh, did we lose you? Okay.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you're still there. So he claims that he has had a change of heart. Now, he had told you he had 150 signatures. Is the phone breaking up over there?
Nope.
Oh, I'm hearing something. Okay. He had told you he had gathered 150 signatures at a Walmart, and he actually named the at the Walmart and the Pick and Save on 27th Street in Franklin.
Right.
And... here's my question, Denise Lockwood. I'm all about, as a journalist, keeping sources, respecting sources, keeping it private. But if he is talking about committing a crime, actively talking about committing a crime, knows about a conspiracy to commit a crime, you have not identified, you have not given out this person's name. Don't you have a responsibility as a journalist if there's a crime in action? In other words, if he had told you, oh, I'm going to murder someone, wouldn't you have a responsibility to go to the authorities and turn that person in?
Well, I think it's certainly not on the same level, but I understand what the concern is. And one of the things that I was really trying to sort out, and this is still definitely an ongoing storyline. So I think where we're kind of getting hung up a little bit is that this has definitely been a process that I'm still very much involved with in speaking to him and continuing to monitor where he's at with this, as far as the specific paperwork. And actually, prior to talking with you tonight, I've been talking to some of the people that I know that are actively collecting the paperwork and understanding a little bit more of how that process might work and trying to understand that maybe we can have some conversations with him about that.
Because, you know, it seems to me that even if he tells you he's not committing this crime, and I don't know the answer to this, that's why I'm asking you, Denise, yeah. And I, you know, we had a nice conversation earlier today about this. This is a real dilemma. And when I heard about this, I was actually doing an event this week. I was hosting a Greg Palast for an event out here, and he's also a reporter who uses deep sources, and it's a confusing question about how to proceed. Actually, I got to get to a break here, Denise. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Because if he's in the process, this guy, if he's in the process of committing a crime, if he's written about it on Facebook, let's say, even if he's changed his mind, it seems like he has, at the very least, the responsibility to show you the petitions that he's gathered, and then so you can follow them through to make sure they are, in fact, turned in. So that's at a minimum. I really wonder whether authorities, you know, he's aware of a conspiracy to commit a felony here.
Yeah, he and I spoke about that, actually, and when we were having
hold the thought. Tell us what he said after this break. I got to get to this break right now, or I'll screw up again. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Speaking with Denise Lockwood of the Caledonia Patch. You can read her work at caledonia.patch.com from up there in Wisconsin. She, as I, have been covering these reports of folks tearing up or planning to tear up or burn or otherwise not turn in signatures in this recall Walker effort that is going on where they've, over the next 60 days, got to collect some 500,000 petitions or more. And Denise has a source who she knows, who she feels confident that he was telling her the truth when he said he had planned to not turn in these signatures and that he knew others who were planning to do the same. She has not named this source. She promised him anonymity. And I'm wondering if he's in the middle of a crime, if she should reveal his name to the public or at least to the district attorney or investigators up there in Wisconsin. It's a journalistic dilemma for someone like me who protects sources. But this is a crime in action, even though he now says he's not going to do it. He's had a change of heart. But so, Denise, what did he tell you when you talked about this?
As far as the anonymity?
Well, no, as far as you had said that your more recent discussions, he had a change of heart, and is he willing to show you the petitions and to prove that he is no longer going to break the law here?
As far as the petitions, I'm still in the process of discussing that with him, as far as that goes. He also, when he had the change of heart, he said he wanted to help me understand kind of the dynamic of which this happened, and specifically the kind of the network of people and Facebook pages and things along that line. So we're still in the process of really trying to understand that.
Well, he needs to help law enforcement as well as you. I mean, if he wants to be a whistleblower, that's great. If he hasn't, you know, if he's had a change of heart, he hasn't committed a crime, he ought to be able to show you,
right,
these are the signatures, and watch, here I am turning them in, and here are my friends, and identify his friends who were talking about this as well. Would he be willing, I don't know if you told him you were going to be on the show tonight, but would he be willing to come on the air and talk about this plan? Obviously not tonight, but at some point next week, you suppose?
I have not asked him, actually, because I know that he's up north hunting, and I was actually putting together a couple of emails, but I sent him an email. He just hasn't responded to me yet.
Okay, because, you know, do you feel that you have a responsibility to either out him, identify who he is, or in lieu of that, make sure that he does turn in this information to turn in the petitions, but turn it into law enforcement?
A couple of things kind of going on here. I would not have found out about this story if I would not have promised him anonymity. It just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And so that in itself was a piece that, as he was telling the story, he was saying that, you know, that there were 1,000 people, and I thought, you know, all right, so how do I find out more about what's going on so that I can start at least figuring out, helping to unravel this as far as a dynamic that's out there on Facebook? And I think it's also something that you have to really weigh in your mind. And it's certainly something that I had to grapple with as a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, I wouldn't have gotten the story if I wouldn't have promised anonymity.
Well, true, but he is privy, or claims to be privy, to a conspiracy of 1,000 people who are gaming an election against Scott Walker. Have the district attorney, any prosecutors, investigators contacted you, Denise Lockwood, to try to ask you for more information on this?
No.
That's troubling to me in and of itself. You know, as a journalist, you might have to say, look, I can't turn over this information. But I'm concerned that this is not being properly investigated. I've dealt with the GAB. I don't know if they do as thorough a job as they ought to. They're certainly up against it up there in Wisconsin. But I think they have a responsibility to pursue it. I think we all have a responsibility, frankly, to pursue it. So, Denise, we're going to talk, I suspect, as this moves forward. But thank you. Thanks for your good reporting on this. And please tell your source, and I too will respect the anonymity because I don't need to know the person's name. But I'd love to bring him on the air next week and talk to him, you know, along with you, if you'd like to join us, Denise. Thanks. I do have to run to a break here. Check out Denise Lockwood's report on this over at caledonia.patch.com. Thanks a bunch, Denise.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Huh. Interesting. Interesting dilemma. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls and much more in the next hour. 877-520-1150. Get in line. Welcome back. Hour number three of the Mike Malloy Show. I am not Mike Malloy. I am Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your airwaves and broadcasting from the left coast here while Mike is enjoying a well-earned vacation. No, he has not been arrested yet. We're going to take your calls in a minute, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. We, of course, have been talking about Occupy. We, of course, have been talking about my belief here that we are now in a full-blown weaponized military state. That if you look at the way these cops in a coordinated effort around the country are cracking down with violence against peaceful demonstrators, violating the First Amendment. All the things that Fox News used to pretend they cared about, all the things that Glenn Beck used to pretend he cared about, is happening. Go to bradblog.com. Look at this this young girl getting pepper sprayed in the face at Occupy Seattle. I'm sorry, Occupy Portland. Then look below it at the picture of this this tank. The Tampa police have this tank that they rolled through Occupy Tampa this week. Then take a look at 84-year-old Dorley Rainey, who lived through the Holocaust, who remembers Goebbels, who was out at Occupy Seattle and got a face full of pepper spray. This 84-year-old woman. Yeah, it's all Fox News. Yeah, it's all a bunch of kids, isn't it? All a bunch of kids, who lazy kids. Except for this 84-year-old woman who was pepper sprayed by cops at Occupy Seattle. Go look at her story. I was going to, and I don't know if we're going to have time this hour or not. I'm going to try to do it next week if necessary. But we've got it at Brad Blog. This interview that Olbermann did with her, this 84-year-old woman after being pepper sprayed. Go check out that video. Go check out that interview in full. I was going to play it in full. I usually don't, you know, play something like that, an entire interview. I think what she had to say was so moving and so important that it needs to be heard in full. So if I can't find time for it this hour, then hopefully next week. This is what has happened to your country. This is what we have allowed to happen in the wake of 9/11, the Patriot Act. Trillions of dollars. Meanwhile, you know, they're laying off cops, teachers, firefighters, while they're putting billions of dollars into the military state that is being used against this citizens, peaceful citizens of this country. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen military contractors that defense contractors who had created computer software to track terrorists, they were, guess what, planning to turn it against me. We've got the emails. The Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, this right-wing, horrific lobbying organization, was planning to spend $12 million to smear, to defraud, to spy on journalists, not like me, but journalists, me, my family. They had photographs of me in their emails, in their presentations, information about my family, where they live, family members who have nothing to do with the work that I do. This is the police state, the military state that we have allowed to happen. And we're seeing, if nothing else comes from Occupy, and plenty already has and plenty more will, but if nothing else comes from it, look what we have allowed to happen. 877-520-1150 if you'd like to get in on this conversation about any of this or anything else you want to talk about. I believe these are your public airwaves, and I like to let you use them, whether you agree with me or not, by the way. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Aaron. He has been holding for a while near Buffalo, New York, hopefully staying warm. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Sir, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Brett. They're staying good and warm, just passed through Buffalo. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about an idea I have for a debate format.
Okay.
And like I told your screener, it would be Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party, any debate that took place.
Okay.
Okay, it'd be set up the same way. I mean, we all know what debates look like now. It'd be set up the same way. All the debaters would be on stage. The only difference would be that there would be gallows on stage. And there would actually be a hangman to crown each one of their necks. Right? So I don't want any harm to come to anyone at a debate. I mean, their fate is in their hands.
Yeah.
Because if they speak even a half-truth, the floor goes out underneath their feet.
Well,
I'm guessing that Michelle Bachmann wouldn't show up to any more debates.
No, she wouldn't. And maybe we could get some, some real people to show up. I'm amazed of the people they're keeping out. And Buddy Romer, Fred Karger, Gary Johnston, that they're not allowing to show up to these debates while they're letting these liars and charlatans every single one of them, except for Ron Paul, who, whether you agree with him or not, I don't find him to be a liar. You know, he's telling the truth.
I don't find him to be a liar either.
Yeah, the other guys, they're all liars. And I don't care if you agree with me or not. Just tell the truth. Every single one of them is a clown. And, yeah, they wouldn't make it very long in that debate, Aaron.
And that's the root. It's the root. Politicians and people in public forums lying is the root of all of our problems.
Well, you know what? Public people lying may be the root of our problems, but we know that public officials are going to lie. It's the responsibility of our media to keep them from lying, to highlight when they have lied and to hold them accountable. And then it's the responsibility of, you know, law enforcement to do something about it. The media has dropped a ball. Law enforcement has dropped the ball. They're more interested in throwing you or I in jail, Aaron, than the actual bad guys.
Lawrence O'Donnell just talked about that, and if we could get on board with what he was talking about, with a whole media holding people accountable, who better? But listen, Brad, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Aaron. Let's see. By the way, next week, I'm hoping to have one of those Republican presidential candidates on this very broadcast. Won't say who yet, in case we can't work out the schedules, but planning to have a Republican presidential candidate here next week. Here's who I can confirm, the lovely Catherine Cryer. Remember her from Court TV? She will be joining us next week. She's awesome. Former judge from Texas. She's awesome, and I say that not just because she used to cover a lot of what I did at Bradblog over on Court TV before they turned it into whatever it's become, but because I really believe she's awesome, and she's calling for some accountability, and we're going to find out what she's calling for in her new book next week. So tune in for that. Should I go to – yeah, let me take one more call here. Gary in Minneapolis, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, Gary?
I was just thinking about 30 years ago, Reagan declared war on working people and our government, and we're living with the results of it now.
Yep.
And the greed, the bigotry, and the ignorance coming out of that right wing. And of course, the Democrats aren't doing too much either. But this demonizing of people that ain't, like, I'm an older white guy, and this demonizing, I'm so fed up with it. I've been down to the occupation. I was out in Philadelphia. It was that occupation for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, they're mostly young people, and it doesn't work with them. They're fed up with all this garbage, too, that they spew out.
Yep.
And I'll tell you that my father grew up in the last Depression, my mother, too. And they told me how bad Republicans are, so they're the root of it. But now our whole system is just completely corrupted. And the media, they're no good because the 90% of that political money they raise, they spend on financing the TV ads.
Mm-hmm.
And damn lobbying, too, the revolving door lobbying politicians. It's all a corrupted sick system.
It is, Gary. And, you know, for years they've been coming on guest hosting for Mike and saying, well, yeah, that's the truth. What are we going to do? What now? What do we do about it? Because if the media doesn't take action, the Department of Justice doesn't take action, what do we do? Well, you know what we do? We occupy. And that's why.
That's the last frustration. And I remember 2 years I had to turn the TV off of that damn Modica crap. And then I remember RFK, Robert Kennedy, saying that he dreaded someday that the politicians would all be millionaires. And the ones that ain't millionaires will be owned by millionaires. That's what's happened.
That's definitely
so
what happened.
Let me say my opinions.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. And thank you, Gary, for going out to those occupations. I hope everyone else does. As far as I see it, it may not work, but it is, at this time, our only hope.
For Bill. Jesse James robbed the banks because that's where the money was. You don't tax people that don't have money.
That's it, Gary. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your call. All right. Let me get to a... okay, when we come back... We'll get some more of your calls when we come back. 877... I haven't done this for a while. You know, I get a little rusty. We're all a little rusty when we... Because, you know, they keep me in a little cellar in the... I'm allowed to blog quietly to myself. But then every couple of months, they cart me out and they put me in front of the mic for the Mike Malloy Show. That's how it happens. It really happens that way. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Don't wait till the end. 877-520-1150. Everybody always calls like right at the end. We got a bunch of callers online. That's good. But fill them up now. Don't wait till the end because then you're going to get completely screwed. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy on your public airwaves. Occupation Nation continues. Stay tuned.
A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you. Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly.
Yeah. Tony's so good at talking me off the ledge with his music. Thanks, Tony. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150 am our numbers. That's 877-520-1150. Phones are lighting up like crazy. And I think this is our buddy Kenny. Is that Kenny Pick?
How's it going, Brad?
Great show. Thank you, sir. Kenny Pick, of course, of Radio or Not, Nicole Sandler's awesome evening radio network. Kenny is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Do I remember it right?
Tuesdays and Fridays, but we're too kind. Don't worry about that.
All right.
But yeah, you know, I not to derail it, well, I guess maybe take the cane train off the rails here for a second, but... do you remember back in June, John Stewart was talking about, how Herman Cain didn't like to read, and he got all kinds of criticism over that?
I don't remember that, but I believe you.
Yeah, and so now, you know, and they were calling him, you know, racist or whatever, and saying, you know, he's accusing Herman Cain of being illiterate. Now we have Herman Cain saying, you know, he just, you know, he wants to be a leader, not a reader.
Did he actually say that?
Herman Cain did just say that he wants to be
a leader.
America means a leader, not a reader.
Oh, my Lord. You know, when I was on, the last time I was on Malloy, when I was hosting I had called him, I think it was on the last night. I said, Herman Cain is dumb as dirt. Seems like a nice guy, but he's dumb as dirt. And these right-wing, this you know, this Newsbusters website, rightwingnewsbusters.org, whatever it is. You know, they're fake right-wing media critics or something. Oh, they just...
Basically.
Yeah, it was a fake outrage because what they did was they quoted me calling Herman Cain dumb as dirt, and they quoted me accurately. I must thank them for that. Like two different paragraphs going on and on. And I wrote to the guy, I'm forgetting his name now, who wrote the article. I said, well, do you disagree or why exactly are you pointing this out? You know, I'm not sure what your complaint is because he is dumb as dirt. So he said, oh, well, you think conservatives are stupid. And I said, well, A, I don't think he's conservative. And B, I didn't say all conservatives are stupid. I said Herman Cain was dumb as dirt. And I stand.
And you would be correct on that.
I think I stand by it. Yeah.
All right. Well,
good
day.
Yeah.
What's funny about this whole story, though, is Newsbusters still has a story up from last June where Jon Stewart said, you know, made the joke that it said, I'm Herman Cain and I don't like to read.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and again, anybody can find it. And Herman Cain just came out and pretty much parodied. He repeated a line from the Simpsons movie, basically saying, you know, I want, you know, we need a leader, not a reader. So, yeah, I guess he can lead us right off the cliff, I suppose.
Well, you know, his numbers are going to skyrocket now. I mean, now that he's saying essentially, I'm dumb and proud of it. Oh, man, he's going to be the new, he's going to take over Newt's job as the front runner.
Yeah.
This is insane, Kenny. This is the most insane. And, you know, and I follow it. I think it's all stupid news. So I just pretty much follow that part on Twitter. I try to cover stuff that actually matters at Bradblog because ain't no way. Well, who knows? I was going to say ain't no way Herman Cain or Newt becomes the nominee. But they got such a bunch of sad sack doofuses. Who knows what will happen between now and then. Hey, Kenny.
I just read one the shot in Freud, but thank you so much for having me on, Brad.
Great to hear from you, my friend, and hope to be on your show again soon myself. Kenny Pick, give your website there, Kenny.
KennyPick.com.
Oh, that was easy. KennyPick.com, and it's a great show Tuesdays and Friday nights or something like that. I think I got it right.
You got it.
On the lovely Nicole Sandler's Radio or Not Network. Take care, Kenny. All right, we're going to come back to more of your calls, 877-520-1150. See, nice people call, and it calms me down. And, of course, that's not necessarily good radio. So we'll go to some people who tick me off. Coming up next, right here on the Mike Malloy Show, 877-520-1150. Yeah, I'm talking to you, John, in Toledo, Ohio. Will he tick me off? Brad, in from Malloy.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
Oh, it's clear. Oh, it's clear. We know exactly what's going on here. A lot of people pretending they don't know.
What's this? I don't know what their demands are. What do these people want? It's unclear to me. I can't understand what their demand.
Now, by the way, occupiers, get some demands. You know, something like, we're not going to leave until Bloomberg steps down. Something like that. That'd be good. Resign. Resign, Gene Kwan, up in Oakland. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Okay, got tons of calls here, and I'm going to try to get to as many as I can, try to get through everybody if I can, so keep them short and sweet, and let's see how we do. John, in Toledo, Ohio, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being had. What's on your mind?
I called because I just want to say that the majority of Americans, it looks like, are opposed to the Occupy movement.
Is that right?
Well, and I base this
according
on
to what?
Looking at the Yahoo stories.
Yeah.
And it's got the comments underneath.
Yeah.
know what I mean?
So this is not based on any empirical information. This is anecdotal, based on who has the most comments at Yahoo.
Yeah, going back, you go back pages and pages, and the majority, and this is, I think it's very, it's not quantitative, but I think it's a very good qualitative analysis of the mood of the country toward the Occupy movement.
Yeah, I don't think, actually, Desi writes here on my screen, are you joking?
Oh, it's just an unsolicited poll.
All right.
I think that makes it very accurate.
Well, the actual polls show otherwise, actually, that there is great support, not just for the Occupy Wall Street movement, but more importantly, for the things that the Occupy Wall Street movement believes in. There's overwhelming support. What's that?
Cite such polls?
I have to look up Google, but you can find all the polls who say, 70-something percent think that we should raise taxes on millionaires. Are you unfamiliar with those polls? Really? They don't show them to you on Fox?
I'm not a Fox fan. I'm just saying.
Well, go out and look.
Yahoo.
All right. Yeah, I understand. All right. Your comments.
I was just wondering what the mood of the country was towards the story.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't tell us.
In Los Angeles, where they blocked the roads, and people were having trouble getting to work on time, and
no, they weren't. You're making stuff up, John. John, you're making stuff up, buddy. But you know what? Here's the thing.
Negative towards the Occupy movement.
Yeah. Nice try, though. See you later, John. And by the way, if you come to bradblog.com and read the comments, they are 100% in favor of Occupy Wall Street. So what this tells me is that there is a 100% majority agreement that Occupy Wall Street rocks. Now, of course, I have no hard evidence, but I did read the comments at bradblog.com, and every single one are in support. Jesus. How stupid do these jackasses think we are? Let's go to Mary up in Iowa. Hey, Mary, welcome to the Occupy Wall Street. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Okay. I'm so glad you're there tonight. I just felt really bad when we were going to have a repeat, and I really like you. I wish they'd give you a program.
Oh, God, I
watch Mike every night, but I just want to say that I believe that the crackdown, they're terrified of us.
Yeah.
They are.
Of us. And are you an occupier, Mary?
No, but I'm all by myself on the highway with sign for years.
Oh, yes, that's right. You are.
So, I'm not terrified for myself.
So you're occupying the highway for years, Mary. What do you mean you're not an occupier?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
We don't have a lot of time. I've always felt that if things get bad, they will really turn everything they have on us.
You bet they will, and they already
are.
Am
I crazy?
No, you might be, but you're not wrong. So, you're right. Look what they're already turning against us.
Look at this
84-year-old Dorley Rainey, who they sprayed her with pepper spray, Mary. Now, can I ask how old you are? You don't have
I'm
to answer.
I'm going to be 83 next month.
83, and you go out and stand on the highway. What does your sign say?
Honk for peace. I get a lot of honks.
Well, you know what? You deserve to have pepper spray in the face, apparently.
I wouldn't care. I'd take it, and I'd come back again. That woman last night was really something.
She was, and I'm going to try to play that you're something,
yes,
Mary.
I'll get off and let somebody else talk, but I just want... I'm really worried about our country.
Thank you. Me too. And thank you for all that you're doing, Mary.
I'm not doing that much. I wouldn't be happy if I weren't.
If the rest of the country did half as much as you're doing, we wouldn't be in this soup right now. So thanks, Mary. Appreciate the call. Keep up the good work. Good to hear from you.
Got to hang in there. And I know it's hard, and I'm afraid for them.
I hear you. Thanks, Mary.
Okay.
Thanks, darling.
Night.
All right. Good night. Oh, man. There was one of those lazy young hippies who needs to go out and get a job. Mary, who's 83 years old in Iowa, standing out by the side of the road with her sign, speaking up, exercising her First Amendment rights, which are apparently disappearing all over the country, even as we speak tonight. Let's go to, I promised we'd move it along here. Bob in Berkeley, welcome to the Molloy Show. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, Brad, you finally convinced me that the electronic voting machines are dangerous. And if you're worried, I'm uber worried, because I think the Republicans, I think this circus with the candidates is stage management. I think Mr. X is waiting in the wings.
Who is who's Mr. X?
His initials are J-E-B.
Jeb Bush?
Yeah.
He's going to be Mr. X.
Just back engineer it. Suppose they nominate him. First of all, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they had Jeb speaking at an educational conference here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. His opening act was Rupert Murdoch. They've got Carl mm-hmm. the architect Rove working mm-hmm. for the Bush family. And then we have your favorite, the electronic voting machine.
Yep.
To me, you add all three of those factors up, and you got Mr. X waiting in the wings.
Well, I'll tell you, I've long been saying that don't be surprised if the draft Christie movement gets into gear again. Certainly the draft Jeb movement. Don't be surprised if there's a brokered convention. The Republicans hate their own candidates. And at the same time, I hear a lot of Democrats, oh, they're delighted. Ha ha. Herman Cain's going to be the candidate. Ha ha. Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, this idiot. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter who they put in there, because you're absolutely right. They're gaming the voting system at the front end. They're keeping people from voting all over the country in 2012. And on the back end, they can do any damn thing they want with those electronic voting systems. So if you're not concerned, you're not paying attention. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate your call, brother.
Okay, thanks. Good talk to you.
And you. Let's go to, look at that. It's Shano. This is the entire Nicole Sandler Radio or Not Network is calling in tonight. Shano.
Great job, my friend. A great, great job. But two callers ago, talking about the First Amendment and how that's being eroded so much.
Yeah.
I have a comment about Occupy Jakarta. You have a judge, Judge Stillman, who mm-hmm. says that you can speak. You can go in the park and speak, but you cannot bring a tent.
Yeah.
But we have a Supreme Court mm-hmm. that says you can spend unlimited money.
Yep.
And that's speech.
Yep.
So how is, if you sleep in a tent, how is that not speech?
Go ahead.
And on top of it, if you took a tent and you put your message on that tent, like a sign, and wanted to bring in the park, how could that not be challengeable as stopping First Amendment speech?
It absolutely should be. It absolutely is. It absolutely is expression. And I've heard this, and I've been going back and forth actually with Democrats about this. Uh-huh. I posted a Twitter debate I had.
Yeah.
The First Amendment does not have. I didn't notice. I haven't looked closely in the Constitution, but I didn't see anything about the amendment expires after dark, after midnight.
Yeah.
It's only available between certain hours.
From dusk till dawn.
Exactly. Yeah, it applies 24/7, 365. And the notion, case law, and I don't want to bore people with this, but case law has found that you can put certain narrowly tailored restrictions mm-hmm. on the right. First Amendment for right. largely health and safety. But
right. you can't yell fire in a theater because that would hurt people.
Right. But you can't infringe upon expression if there is another way to do it. So if you're concerned about, there's a guy getting stoned in the park, well, you can send a cop in there the way you'd send a cop to, somebody's getting stoned on the street corner, and arrest that person without destroying the expression of the entire right. thing. And the expression here is occupation.
Right.
And it's not
the
enough.
Actual,
yeah.
The actual presence is the speech. And therefore,
right.
living in tents is the speech, just like they can say corporations can spend money. You can sleep in a tent, and action can be speech, obviously,
yep.
according to the Supreme Court. And I think that they should argue that. I hope that they do.
I hope they
very
do,
much.
And I hope they take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and then we can see just how bad the liars are who sit on that Supreme
yeah.
Court. Hey, thanks, Shano. What's the, is it funkedintohead.com?
Funked, yeah,
defunct in the head, ShaneDashO.com. Thanks so much for the plug. I appreciate
You deserve
so
it. Listen to Shane-O Thursday nights after,
Thank
of course,
you.
The Malloy Show. Listen to his podcast. Thanks, brother. Yeah. Talk to you soon. Also from our friend Nicole Sandler's Crazy Radio Network. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Just a few more minutes. We'll try to get to everyone. Stay tuned.
Times must the cannonballs fly. Before they're forever banned, the answer, my friend, is... Just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Oh yeah, it's coming.
Oh yes, it will.
Yes, it will. My thanks tonight to the greatest engineer in the history of the world, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, sir, for everything and for your awesome music, as always. Of course, my thanks to my guests tonight, Josh Harkinson of Mother Jones and Denise Lockwood of the Caledonia Patch. My thanks to producer Desi Doyen, also on call screener duty and chat room moderator duty. So thank you, Des, for that. And also for both Ernie Canning and... our newest favoritist chat room moderator, Angel, was joining us tonight. Thank you for that. Much appreciated. And, of course, my great thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in behind his actual golden microphone. If you're listening, by the way, on MikeMalloy.com, please do stay tuned for our friend Bob Kincaid on Head On. And we will be back with you next week with some great guests as soon as I book them. One of them is Catherine Cryer. She's great. And a Republican presidential nominee. She's not the nominee. There's actually not a nominee at all. Republican presidential candidate, which Catherine Cryer isn't. So there will be someone else who is Republican presidential candidate who I hope... will be joining us if we can work it out. Okay, do we have all that straight? Did I do all that? All right. Good luck. Let me get to, where am I here? Our friend Tim from L.A. Hey, Tim. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your brain tonight?
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And my question is, you know, Occupy L.A. was arrested for trespassing on private property, you know, yesterday.
At the Bank of America Plaza.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, and most likely the manager may have called the LAPD using 837 PC, which is a citizen's arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if he could get an attorney in the air next week and ask if Occupy LA can do the same and have the managers arrested for, you know, fraud.
Wait, you're saying the managers actually did a citizen's arrest?
May have, yeah, because it was on private property. LAPD can't go in and arrest people unless there is a citizen's arrest. Unless there is a crime committed.
What was the crime? What do they say the crime was? Trespass? Well, it was trespassing,
yeah.
Right. So if somebody comes to my house, they're trespassing, I call the police. Hey, the guy's trespassing, they come and arrest
him. Exactly. Yeah. They would call the police.
But I don't have to do a citizen's arrest in that case.
Well, I mean, if they're just staying, you know, just because actually B of A, the plaza, is a public/private area.
Right.
So they have, you know, since they allow people to come into their area, it's a public area.
Right.
So I think, that's why I was going to ask if you can ask an attorney.
Okay.
If the people are more or less allowed to be there because it's a public area, even though it's private.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, here's what we have learned, Tim, is that the rules are exactly what the people who enforce them make up at the time that they decide to enforce them. I mean, they have been completely making up any goddamn rules they want to keep these people out, people who have done nothing illegal, people who have done nothing more than express their First Amendment right to peaceably assemble and to petition their government for redress. That's it. And
So what I'm then saying is, can I wonder then if the Occupy LA or any of the occupiers in California specifically then could file the law, you know, arrest, have LAPD or any of the police department in California to arrest the managers for felons.
Well, you know what? I'm up for it. Sounds good to me. Maybe we'll hear from some of those folks. Good idea. Maybe we'll hear from some of those folks next week. I hope they do it. I'd love to see some, you know, Eric Holder ain't going to make any arrests of bankers, apparently. Thousands and thousands of citizens expressing free speech, they're arrested. The goddamn bankers who screwed this country get to stay in. Yeah. Thanks, Tim. I got to I want to get through as many as I can. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you, sir. All right. Let me get to Randall in Tempe. Randall, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. How are you, brother?
Oh, there's so much wonderful stuff going on in Arizona. I'm sure you're aware of a lot of it. But I wanted to hip you to the fact you may also be aware of. You've reported a lot on ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council that writes all these horrible laws.
Yes,
like
yes.
Horrible, restrictive voter ID laws that are going to disenfranchise 5 million Democrats this cycle.
Yep.
They're going to hold their annual convention right here in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of outside agitators are coming in to occupy ALEC.
All right. Now we're talking. When is that?
It's November 29th, I think, we're having an event here, and I think the convention is the 30th through December 2nd, and Common Cause and Move to Amend and all kinds of people are coming in to agitate and occupy ALEC.
Randall, agitate, agitate's a word that guys who don't like free speech use. They're not coming to agitate. They're coming to demonstrate. They're coming to demonstrate their grievance against this cowardly bunch of this ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, and the corporate money they get, and the bills that they lie about, they pass off to state legislatures and pass. That's not agitating. That's speaking up, brother.
Well, you can't do your laundry without an agitator, you know that.
Well, that's true, yeah.
PDA stands for Personal Public Display of Affection, also stands for Progressive Democrats of America, PDA, pdamerica.org. Look at the calendar. This Tuesday on our conference call, we're going to be talking about these restrictive voter ID laws and what can we do about it.
All right,
Make sure everybody gets the vote. And read bradblog.com.
Oh, well done. Thanks, Randall. PDAmerica.org. I'm sorry, everyone else who was hanging on the line, my apologies. I could not get to everybody, but I'm here for three more days. So I'll promise to get everyone in as much as I can. Oh, it's Friday night, isn't it? This music reminds me. Yeah, it's Friday. We'll see you on Monday. We'll see you at bradblog.com. Until then, I'll have the archives late at night. Good night, America. Keep it lit and occupied.